Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
I am looking forward to what we're going to talk about, and I told the last service, this last song we sang, you really don't even need a sermon after that. That is the story, that is the good news. So when you hear the gospel, that's a good. It's called the good news. And I want to encourage you guys to something. It's the good news in your life. And I was working with a church years ago, gosh, 6-7 years ago, and they kept talking about the gospel this, gospel that. And it was a leadership team. I said, hey, I want everybody to write down their definition of the gospel. And so they wrote down their definition of the gospel. I had everybody read it. And they had doctrinally correct definitions, long ones, short ones, all these definitions. And I said this statement. I said, I didn't hear the gospel once. Well, now it was go time because actually doctrinally they are correct. But what I didn't hear is the good news and what Jesus did in them. And I want to encourage you, if you don't know anything else, what you do know is what Christ has done and is currently doing in your life. That's the good news. Do not feel obligated to have all the answers because nobody does. And nobody can, or well, they can, but they can't with authority argue with what God's done in your life. You just need to know that. So it's always good to pay attention and be in relationship with God so you can actually be aware of the good things he's doing in your life, because that is the good news. So with that in mind, we're going to jump into our sermon series called Cultivate, to work out, to cultivate. We're talking about cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And that fruit of the Spirit is actually the very nature of God in you. It's already there, but we're going to cultivate it. We grow in this. We grow in our relationship with God. You do not make these things happen. You can work all you want to be patient. You're only patient until you lose it. You work all you want to be kind, but you're only kind until somebody just rubs you the wrong way. Now you're not kind anymore. We're not talking about just being kind. We're talking about living kindness. That kindness is a part of your nature. It's the nature of Christ in you. Well, I encourage you with a passage. It's not going to come up here, but the same guy that wrote the book of Galatians, his name's Paul. He's an apostle. He wrote the book. He also, in Galatians 2, we're going to be in 5, go 2, he says, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer me that lives, but it's Christ that lives in me. So I've been crucified with Christ. I've died to that old sinful nature we're going to talk about. It's Christ that lives in me. And this life I live in the body. So he's acknowledging that he's got to deal with all that this life deals. We struggle with our sinful nature. This life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who, you guys got to hear this, who loved me and died for me. And I do not set aside the grace of God. I do not set aside God's favor and approval of me. Because if righteousness or goodness could be attained by observing law or playing the game and playing the rules, Christ died in vain. I want you to hear this. So what Paul's saying, it's not me, it's Christ in me. I identify with him. I don't identify with my old nature. That's not who I truly am. I'm alive in Christ. And this life I live in the body, I live in dependence. I live in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a journey. And so we're all on this journey. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a disciple, you're on a journey. And we're growing towards spiritual maturity. We're growing to be more and more like Jesus. And we're going to see what Jesus is like here in a second. So our vision here at Real Life Ministries is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. So I'm going to throw a little question at you. You just think about this. What are you going to reach Jesus with? What are we going to reach him with? And we're going to create biblical disciples in a relational environment. What's a biblical disciple? What does that even look like? What does it look like to be like Jesus? So as we go through Galatians chapter 5, and if we're going to fulfill our mission, which is to reach the world for Jesus, we're going to reach him because we are following Jesus and we're more and more like Jesus as we grow and as we live. So the word gentleness. So remember the fruit of the Spirit is, you guys help me with this, love, joy, peace, patience. Okay, you guys are really quiet. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and we're going to stop there because next week's self-control. So all these things, that's the fruit of the Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit in you if you've surrendered your life to Lord Jesus Christ. If you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, and you're done ruling your own self-determined selfish life, and you're going to follow. He made Jesus Christ your God. He gives us his Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit. It says this in Ephesians chapter 1, that we've been given the promised Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing your salvation till the day of redemption. So this is how good God is to us. Not only does he save us, but then he gives us a spirit and gives us the ability to actually live and be more and more like Jesus so we can reach people and we can experience a life of peace and rest even when it's crazy town all around us. And so one of the things that he gives us in the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. So what is gentleness? I don't see a lot of it in this world. And so gentleness, just the definition is mildness or gentleness. So it's pretty soft, gentle. It's also very close to the word meekness, to be meek. And Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, the meek shall inherit the earth. What's that word meek? That word meek mean? In a nutshell, it means power or strength or influence or authority under control. And I'm going to add to it, under control. So as a Christian, under control of the Holy Spirit, I want you to hear this part, benefiting other people for the benefit of another person, to have strength and power, but I keep it in control for the benefit of another person. I'll give you an example. So when I was a young dad and I had young boys, one of the things my boys like to do is try to get in bed, and they try to pull my arm down. So I'd lay there, and they'd pull, and Ben would get in there, and he'd have his feet on the wall, and he could never pull my arm down. If you know my son Ben now, he'd pull my arm off my body. He's ridiculously big and strong. But then he couldn't, and then they'd want to wrestle, and they'd want me to whisker him. So I'd wrestle and whisker him, so they're 3, 4, 5 years old. Well, in reality, I could swing him around, throw him, kick him. They're just little boys. Power under control for the benefit of another person. So I still want to wrestle with them. I don't have anything to prove. Well, I'm going to prove that I can beat up a 5-year-old. So this meekness, I want you guys to hear this, has nothing to prove. The Lord Jesus Christ modeled that. He's the God of the universe, and he's not out bullying and just saying, hey, look at me. Power under control for the sake of other people. So that's gentleness, that's meekness. This is what we're going to be talking about. And this is in you, and we want to grow in this as we cultivate this life with Jesus Christ and this life as we walk with the Holy Spirit. So I want to read a passage to you that's going to set up where we're at. You've probably heard it the last 6 weeks. You're going to hear it again. We can't hear this enough. And so Paul is writing to the church in Galatia. So anytime I read an epistle or a book, you know, that's written to the church, Romans, Corinthians, whatever, I know it's a letter written to the church. We're the church right now. The things that were written to them are very similar to things we're going through right now. God's word is eternal, so it works right now just like it did back then. And so when we read this, I want you to be listening to this as a personal letter written to you because God has something to say to you. And God has an invitation for you. And God has good things to say to you, but challenging things. Always for your own good and the good of others. So in Galatians 5, and I'm going to talk us through this as we go, because I want to hit on a few things. So Paul says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now stop there for a second. If you're new to church, Bible, Christianity, walk of the Spirit, what does that mean? And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Well, what does that mean? Here's what that word flesh means, the sinful nature. So if I walk with, if I'm being led by it, I'm staying close to the Holy Spirit, I'm aware of the Spirit of God and his desire for me and others, and I want what he wants, I won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature, the flesh, what we're dying to, what Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ, I'm done with that. And if you wonder what that sinful nature is, I'm gonna give you an example. How many people have kids? How many people teach their kids to say no, mine? How many people have to teach their kids to take stuff away from another kid, to scream and holler, to have a temper tantrum? Is there a class for that? No, it's natural. It comes naturally. They don't have to learn that. And the more somebody lets their kid be who they naturally are, the more you stay away from those people. Because they're screaming like crazy in a store. They throw themselves on the floor. That's the nature of man apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you wonder where it ends up, look at what we see in our world, not just in America, all over. Death, war, destruction, rape, embezzlement, on and on. That is the acts of the flesh. That's the desires of the flesh. It's all about the person. It's all about me at any cost. And it leads to death. So, but I say, walk by the Spirit, you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, or against that sinful nature. For these are opposed to each other. So those of you that have been walking with Jesus for a while, you have that war inside, huh? You get frustrated when you make a mistake. You know, why did I do that? What was I thinking? Paul had the same struggle. So when he's writing a letter to the church in Rome, it's the book of Romans, chapter 7, look this up, write that one down. It's not in your notes. He's having the same, he's like, the thing, I'm going to paraphrase, the things I want to do are the things I don't do. And the things I don't want to do are the very things I do. What is wrong with me? I'm paraphrasing. There's this constant struggle, and we're and I'm fighting the old me, and I'm getting used to the new me, this new reality, which is a life in Christ, and that they're opposed to each other. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, the works of the flesh or the actions of the flesh are obvious or evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. I want to stop there for a second. As I read these acts of flesh, I want you to be thinking about this. Every single one of these is a detriment to relationship, is a detriment to peace, is opposed to or causes chaos in a person's life. So I go, the works of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, and sensuality. I'm going to stop with these. Every single person sitting in here right now has been impacted by adultery. Whether you've committed it, had it committed against you, or you know somebody, there's heartbreak. So what comes with adultery is shame, embarrassment, loss, disappointment, anger, all those things. That is the acts of the sinful nature. That's what that brings. That's why Paul is writing to this. I've warned you. He's warned you. This is where it ends up. It always ends up bad. Nobody goes, man, no, you're okay. No, it always hurts somebody and it always hurts the person. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, acts of the sinful nature, idolatry, sorcery, idolatry, serving other gods, sorcery, black magic type stuff, enmity, strife. Jealousy. Jealousy would be like wanting what somebody else has. Jealous because I'm not like the other person. Jealous because somebody succeeded and I didn't. Now I resent that person. I resent the people who helped them succeed. And it's all about me. And I can't even enjoy anything for anybody because I'm so caught up in myself, which creates strife. That's the acts of the sinful nature. Fits of anger or fits of rage. Has anybody been around somebody who's just lost their head, lost their temper, and they just lash out at you? You are the target of a fit of rage. Anybody been around that? Anybody deliver that? I have for most of my life. God gave me freedom from that kind of anger about 11 years ago, and I hated it. I was always in bondage to my anger, and my anger was a result of fear and a lack of trust in God and what he'd done for me. That's an act of the sinful nature. Rivalries. Those of you that are married that compete with your spouse for your kids' love or attention. You compete with each other. That's a rivalry. Happens in any sort of relationship. Dissensions, factions, divisions. All this is the acts of the flesh. This is what we get. Just look at our country right now. I don't even care who's where politically. I don't care. It's divided. And people aren't listening to each other. Both sides, all five sides. However many sides there are. And even this side on this side fighting amongst themselves on their stuff. And they keep division. That's the acts of the flesh. There's no unity in that. I warn you that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is what we're talking about. This is what's in us. This is what grows as we cultivate and walk with God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Who doesn't want to be with that person? A person that has a rhythm. I'm not talking perfection. As they grow, that love is patient and kind. It's not rude. It's not easily angered. It's not resentful. I like to be with those kind of people. Love, joy, a person that's joyful. I'm not talking just happy all the time. A person can have joy in the midst of the most horrible things going on. You know that Jesus was known as a man of sorrows, but he had joy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. And those who belong to Christ, Jesus, have crucified the sinful nature or the flesh with its passions and desires. And that flesh has passions and desires. It's a motivated to get its own way. That's why you and I wrestle with it. When I hear people say, I'm really struggling with whatever, I'm like, so are you doing that? And they're like, oh yeah. I say, you're not struggling with it. You're just doing it. I hope you're struggling with it. There's a difference. If I'm struggling with drinking, but I'm drinking all the time, I'm not struggling with it. I'm just drinking. Or I'm lying, or I'm whatever I'm doing. To struggle with it is to be in the fight, and you're going back and forth, and you're getting help. With his passions and desires, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So to be in step with the Spirit means I have submitted or yielded. To submit is a good word. It means to give way. That's all it means. It's to give way or to yield. Scripture tells us in Ephesians that we will submit one to another out of reverence to Christ. So I'm going to be in step with the Spirit. So those of you in the military know exactly. If you're going to be in step, drill and ceremony, everybody's stepping with their left. Everybody's stepping with their right. Right? And if they turn, they all turn left at the same time because they're unified. They're submitted to each other, and they're submitted to the authority of the person telling them where to go and how to get there. Be in step with the Holy Spirit. Go where he goes. Be paying attention. If we're doing drill and ceremony and I'm not paying attention and I go my own way, messes everything up, plus there's a lot of pain that goes with that. So anyway, let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying each other. I'm going to get to the conceited part real quick. Here's why you become conceited, because you're trying really hard to be good and have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness on your own, and other people aren't working as hard as you, so you become conceited and self-righteous. That's what it is. That's where self-righteousness comes from. I'm working so hard to be godly, and you're not working as hard as me, and I look down on you because you're not doing the things that I do. So don't be like that. Don't become conceited, and don't provoke each other. We're going to have mercy for each other. And we're not going to envy one another. We're going to celebrate each other's successes. And even if I haven't had a win for 5 or 10 years. And it isn't easy, is it? When everything looks like it's going well for everybody else, and I just keep getting kicked. We're going to hang in there. So, it's this relationship with God that we're going to cultivate. Real quick, before we get into this, you don't have this. We don't have access to the fruit of the Spirit apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want us to think from this perspective. God loves you so much that he gave his one and only son. That's John 3:16. Because of your self-ruled, self-destructive, self-determined life, Jesus Christ came to earth, God in the flesh. He lived a life like a man. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about that he was tempted in every way that we are, yet was without sin. I don't know if you know that or not. Jesus was tempted in every possible way, yet was without sin. So I believe Jesus was tempted in every possible way. Just use your imagination. Yet he didn't sin. So he experienced this life like we did. He's tempted every way we are, yet was without sin. So he can empathize or sympathize with us in our weakness. He gets it. So you have a mediator. You have somebody who loves you, who understands how hard it is. And he didn't sin. And he went to the cross. He took the punishment that we should take, raised from the dead, so that he can intercede on your behalf, because he did for you what you and I can't do for ourselves. And so that's why you and I ask God to forgive us for our sin. We confess our sin. We agree with God that we're, and this sin is independence from God. I'll just make it simple. I'm going to do my own thing. And I'm going to accept what the Lord Jesus did. And what he did cleanses us from our sin and makes us right before God. He reconciled us back to the Father. That word reconcile, it's a good word. It means to return to favor. So if you know the Lord Jesus, you are in God's favor, whether you feel like it or not. So the trick is for you and I to begin to believe what's true and not just what we think or feel, what people have imposed on us. That's the hard work of working out our salvation. Not working for our salvation, working it out. And that's in the book of James. And so not only are we saved from our sin and given, but then God in his goodness, because he's our Father, gives us his Holy Spirit. He gives it to us. And this isn't scriptural. I just use my imagination. It's like he gave us his DNA. Like, you know, like when I look at Christian Putman sometimes, you got to hear this, Christian. There are times I'm like, oh my gosh, you look exactly like your dad. There's no doubting who Christian Putman's dad is. He's got his DNA. He's a Putman. And he can't be anything other than, well, you are a Christian. If you've surrendered your life to Christ, you can't be anything other than what God redeemed. You're his, and you have his spirit in you. So you have his nature and his behaviors and his way of being and thinking, if you will have it. So we're going to talk about gentleness. And what I love about this is Jesus, everything he asks us or commands us to do, he already did himself. He's not asking you to do anything that he didn't do and didn't suffer doing. So Jesus is gentle. So as a disciple of Jesus Christ, which I am, and hopefully you are as well, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I choose and we make choices every day. A good friend of mine, Jimmy Harris, told me this a long time ago. He says, you're free to and you're free not to. You're free. You're free to and you're free not to. So as a disciple of Jesus, I choose to submit and live in Jesus's gentleness. Choose to submit. I'm going to yield to his gentleness. I'm going to live in that. So what does that even look like? Well, I want to read an invitation to you. I'm going to use that word a few times. So Jesus gives us an invitation. It's in Matthew 11. Come to me. So here's what Jesus said. He's saying this to you. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Don't answer this question. This is rhetorical. I want you to be thinking about this. Who's heavy laden in here and who's rested? Does anybody need rest? You got a heavy burden? And this is Jesus' invitation to you. Come to me. Say, come here, you guys. All you who labor, all you who are working hard to be good, all you who are working hard to be good Christians, come here. And if you got heavy loads, if you're heavy laden, then I'll give you rest. Take my yoke. And if you don't know what a yoke is, think of two ox. They got that big wooden collar, and they both put their heads through it, and they walk side by side, and they work together. They're in unison. They're shoulder to shoulder. And Jesus is brilliant when he uses his words. Take my yoke upon you. So get in the yoke with me and learn from me. That's something to say to you. And I love you, so what I got to say to you is good. And learn from me. I want you to hear this. I am gentle and lowly in heart. Why in the world would he tell you that? Put my yoke upon you. Get over here. I'll help you with this. I'm gentle and lowly, or I'm meek, or I'm humble in heart. And I want you to hear this. I will give you rest for your souls. What is that even like? Some of you know. Some of you are wondering, some of you don't have a clue. That's okay. We all start somewhere. And I'll give you rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So when I talk about as a disciple of Jesus, I'm going to choose to submit and live in Jesus' gentleness. Do you want to carry your own burden? You're going to run your own show and try to do things by yourself and figure it out again and again. That's the story of my life. I'll figure it out. I'll do this. I'll angle that. I will head this thing off. And I'm always spinning plates and working deals in my mind and heart, and it's exhausting, and I can never keep up. And I don't just carry heavy load. I create a heavy load. I want you to hear that it takes humility to go, Lord Jesus, I take your yoke. And I don't even know how to put the thing on. That's why we do life together and we make disciples in relationship, because other people know how to put that yoke on and they will walk with you if you have the humility to listen and spend time with other people. Because all of us are in a different part of our walk with God. Some of us have been walking with Jesus a day or two, or maybe never have. Some 3 or 4 years, some 30, 40, 50, 60 years. That's why we need each other. That's why we make disciples in relationship and we help each other with those things. I don't know how to put on a yoke. Like, I didn't know how to tie a tie. You know, it has nothing to do with the sermon. I did 4 years in the Army, and I never tied a tie. I just did the clip-on. If I'd have got caught, the clip-on, it had been lights out. But I never learned how to tie a tie. But one day somebody showed me and took time to gently show me how to tie a tie. And it was a girl. But I had to submit to going, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to put on a yoke. Lord Jesus, will you help me? Well, I'll find somebody to help me. I don't know how to let go of my heavy load. All I know is self-condemnation. All I know is to work harder and try harder. I don't know how to not do that. That's why we do life in relationship. We have these conversations. And Jesus promises that he'll give you rest for your souls. It's good. Here's the other invitation. Once again, Jesus. Why I keep talking about Jesus is he's our model. He's our standard for gentleness. So if you want to know what it is, this is what it looks like. John 15, he goes, if you abide in me, once again, he's talking to you guys, if you abide, if you continue, if you stay in me and my words abide in you, that's why we read God's word. We don't read God's word so we a bunch of Bible not know-it-all people. We read God's word because it changes us and we begin to know our God, not know about him. So I want your words to abide, my words to abide in you, and you'll be changed by them. My words abide in you. Ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. Whoa, fruit of the Spirit. What would that fruit be that we would bear? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Bearing that kind of fruit, life is much better. Bear much fruit, and so prove yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Do you know that Jesus Christ loves you like the Father loves the Lord Jesus? Again, rhetorical question, do you believe that? And if you don't, what's keeping you from believing that? Abide in my love. Love is patient and kind. Abide in my patience and kindness. Love isn't rude or easily angered. God isn't easily angered with you. The only people that are easily angered are people like us that are uptight and have our own agenda going. I'm an expert in easily angered. I've lived it most of my life. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he's not doing. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you. I want you to hear this. And that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus will help you with all this stuff. And it is impossible apart from Christ. Another part in John 15 says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't achieve this apart from Christ because this is the life of Christ. This is his nature in you. Apart from Jesus, you don't have that. So as a disciple, I choose to submit and live in Jesus' gentleness. It's right here. As a disciple of Jesus, I make a choice to give and receive gentleness. I said this on purpose, to give and receive. I know people who will, if you go to dinner, they always want to pay the bill. Or you go to do something, they're always going to pay, but they won't let you pay. Because I think they're scared. Because it's much easier to be the one in charge and give than to let somebody give to them. I found it very difficult to let people pay the way. Now I'm just like, yeah, go ahead, pay. I'm good. Thanks for blessing me. And I'll look for an opportunity to bless you as well. But it's not a tip for tat. If it's going to joy somebody's heart, yeah, go ahead and pay. Learn to give and receive generosity. Learn to give and receive gentleness. Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, you're chosen, you're holy, you're unique, set apart, and you're dearly loved. Why would Paul even say that? Everything he says, he's setting us up to remember who we are and why we exist. To those of you who are chosen, some of you in here have not been chosen very often, and it hurts to not be chosen. It's called rejection. And after enough rejection, I know about this as well, I don't even want anybody to act like they would choose me because it hurts too stinking bad to think I might be chosen and it isn't real. And so I learned to reject attention or being chosen or any sort of even affection. And I will just protect my heart, my mind, myself. And I just use people. I know about this because I've lived most of my life this way. Because that's the acts of the flesh. That's the natural man. But Paul's reminding us that you're chosen, you're holy, you're set apart. You're like nobody else because you belong to Jesus now. You're chosen, you're holy, and you're dearly loved. You and I need to know that we are dearly loved, that we are important and valued and dearly loved. And Paul wants you to know that. So because of this, therefore, as God shows a people holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves, put on your new clothes with compassion, kindness. That's interesting. We talked about that. Humility, gentleness, and patience. This is your new clothes. And they might not even feel real good at first. I don't know if maybe some of you guys remember back in the day when you buy a pair of Levi 501s. I grew up in Western Nebraska, and you'd go to the coast to coast and get your 501s and come off the shelf, and they're about this long, and they're super flat, and they were starched, and you couldn't even bend them. You put them in the back of the pickup. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Then you get home, and you put hot water in the bathtub, and you throw three or four pair of Levi's, and your water turns dark blue. But you got to soften them. You can't even get them in the washing machine until you soften them. I'm going somewhere with this. Then you wash them, and you put them on the first time, button fly 501s, and they're still a little stiff, and you got to wear them. And they start to fit, and they're super comfortable once you get fitted into them. Putting on this new life of Christ and being gentle and kind and patient feels real awkward and uncomfortable at times, and it hurts. But as you and I begin to practice and trust the Lord Jesus to do this work in us, it becomes who we are, and it fits us well. And nothing else satisfies other than walking with Christ and living this. And when I step out of that, it's like, oh, I need to come back where I belong. So clothe yourselves with these. Even if it is a little uncomfortable for a while, we're going to stay the course. So make that choice to give and receive gentleness. As a prisoner of the Lord Jesus, Paul writes this in Ephesians. He's in jail when he writes this. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling. You've been called, you've been chosen, and receive. Be completely humble. So think about this at home. Be completely humble at home, everywhere you go. Gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know why? I say this all the time, but I'm going to say it again. You know why it says bearing with one another in love? Because you're unbearable. Every single one of you. You're all unbearable. So am I. So we bear with each other. We endure each other because we love each other. Love doesn't give up. Love doesn't quit. Bear with one each other. Make every effort. We're going to make every effort. I'm going to look for opportunities, even though things aren't going my way, to keep the unity of the Spirit. We're going to stay unified through the bond of peace. It takes relationship. So I want to give you. So if I'm going to practice to give and receive gentleness, I want to share a quick story with you. So I got out of the Army in 93. My last year in the Army was in Korea. I'd gotten married in December 4th of 91. 3 months later, I got deployed to Korea. My wife stayed behind. She went to Moody Bible Institute. I stayed in Korea. I got done after a year in Korea, came home. My wife and I went back to Chicago. I'd never been there. And we drove to Chicago, and she continued her education. So I did a half a year at Moody. I took 2 classes. Maybe I went a whole year. I took 4 classes altogether. I was not cut out for Bible school. I wasn't cut out for school. I'm cut out for the Bible, but it was a rough one for me. But so I'm new there, and this is probably September, Chicago, hot and humid. We had a big, super nice gymnasium called the Solheim Center. The guy that makes ping golf clubs, Mr. Solheim, donated, and it had basketball courts, running track. The NBA teams had come practice there that were visiting the Bulls, so it was pretty nice. So I go into my locker, and all my stuff's gone. I'm like, huh. So I go to the front desk, go, hey, where's my lock in my locker? Well, I saw my lock, it was broken off. And I go, where's my stuff? And he goes, this other young guy about my age, he goes, it's in a pile right there. He said, you didn't pay your fee. I said, well, you didn't have to break my, you know, so I'm already mad. I'm 24, I had a temper then. And so I pick up on my stuff, and I said a few choice words, and I'm walking out, and I walk, there's a double set of doors, I walk through one, I go to the outside door, and I hit my toe on the threshold, and all my stuff flies out there. There's racket balls and stuff, and I lose it. And I said, what the? And you just use your imagination. And it wasn't a good one. And I'm picking my stuff up, and I see these 2-foot feet. I'm looking down, and I see these wingtip shoes are really nice. I'm like, oh, boy. And I look up, it's Dr. Sweeting. If you don't know who Dr. Sweeting is, he was the president of Moody for years, president of Moody Bible Institute. At the time, he was the chancellor. And also, they had just finished a big, beautiful library called the Sweeting Center. And I'm like, my wife's going to get kicked out of school. I'm going to get kicked out of school because I used the bad word and I yelled it really loud. And he put his hand on my shoulder and he said, we all have days like that. It'll get better. And he walked inside. He doesn't know who I am. He wouldn't remember me if he saw me. It was a life-changing event. I get choked up thinking about it. That is that power under control, that authority under control for the sake of another person. What he could have done is said, I need to see you in Dean Aaron's office tomorrow, 8 o'clock, with your wife. You should know better than that. You're a Christian. You're a representative of Moody. He could have gave me the whole right, and he would have been right. But he chose gentleness. He chose to be gentle. But I bet he has spent his life cultivating this because he was young once too and impetuous and loud, and somebody was probably gentle with him. And he cultivated a life of Christ in him, just like all of us can and will be doing. Because there'll be a time when somebody will need that gentleness from you. And that might be the person sitting next to you right now. So folks are going to come up and we're going to do communion here in a little bit. And I want to finish with this. Don't give up. You know, scripture tells us that a soft answer, it's in Proverbs 15, it says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh answer stirs up anger. And I just know this in my own life. When people give me a harsh, condescending, sarcastic answer, I absolutely love it and it feeds my soul. And I want more. I just hang around that person. Actually, when it happens, there's something in me. I'm ready to go to town. I'm ready to fight with you. I'll go. You want to play that game? Well, where's the fruit of the Spirit there? That's the flesh all coming out. But a soft answer, and in the Hebrew, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, I can just look stuff up. So I studied that word. The word soft and the word gentle is the exact same Hebrew word. I don't know how to pronounce it. I just saw it. So in other words, a gentle answer turns away wrath. You and I get to choose to give a gentle answer. I get to choose to give a gentle answer to my wife, even when a button's pushed. I have a choice to give a gentle answer to somebody at work because a button's pushed. I might even be absolutely correct in what I say, but I can choose to say it gently or with sarcasm and indignation and self-righteousness. You and I, as disciples of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, will walk with the Spirit and we will practice this gentleness. And we're not going to give up. Scripture tells us in Galatians 6, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Don't play around. You cannot be mocked. A man or a woman sows what they reap. Sows, cultivates. We're gonna cultivate stuff. We're gonna get what we reap. We're gonna get what we cultivate. Whoever sows or cultivates to please the flesh or that sinful nature from that sinful nature or flesh will reap destruction. All those things you read: adultery, drunkenness, orgies, selfishness, spite, envy. That's self-destructive and it destroys everything around us. But whoever sows to please the Spirit or cultivates to please the Spirit from that Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing what is good. It does get wearisome being the one that maybe is the one who always apologizes, the one that chooses humility, the one that chooses a gentle answer. And it's like, man, I would just like to light somebody up right now. I am tired of being gentle. Don't give up. Don't give up, for at the proper time, Scripture says, at the proper time, God determines the proper time. And in that time that we're waiting, he's developing great men and women of God as we submit to him and are patiently doing what is right, not out of obligation, but out of the Spirit of God in us. We are choosing to be men and women of God, and he's developing us. So don't give up doing what is good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of God, believers, the family of God. And they all know we're his disciples because of our love for one another. That's why we're going to take care of us. Not that we're not good to everybody, but especially us. Because when we love each other, we care for each other, we're patient with each other, we don't eat each other's young, we're not attacking each other, we're actually helping each other in our weaknesses, in our mistakes. Who doesn't want to be with that group of people? I want to be with those people. I want to be with those people that bear with me, want to see me succeed. So especially those who are the believers. So we get to do communion together. And as this is passed out, I want you to think about something. Everything we have just talked about, this reality of the fruit of the Spirit, this reality of the Spirit of God in us, is possible because of the Lord Jesus and what he chose to do. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, Scripture tells us, for the joy set before him, that's the Lord Jesus. For the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. So what was the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus that he could endure? And I want to, while this is getting passed out, I want you to think about a few things. His disciples had abandoned him. He's condemned to death by his own people. He's crucified. Before he's crucified, he's beaten. He's nailed to the cross. He's crucified. He's mocked. And on top of that, he's bearing or taking on the sin of the entire planet, yours and mine, past, present, and future. And on top of that, then he receives the punishment, the wrath of God, to pay the penalty for our sins so we don't have to. And for the joy set before him, he endured all that. That joy was you. And that joy was to do the will of the Father. And that joy wasn't so that you would behave and follow a bunch of rules, but that you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to know him and wear this Spirit of God and know that you belong and you're reconciled to the living God. And what Jesus Christ did for you, you can't do for yourself. It's not about religion, you guys. It's about knowing and being and living in Christ. So you have peace, so you have rest for your souls. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he's having Passover supper with his disciples. And right after supper, it's just right after what we're doing, he goes down to Gethsemane and prays. And it's not long after that that he gives his will up. He goes, Father, not my will, because he's wrestling that one too. Not my will be done, but yours. He's arrested, and the rest is everything I just explained. And so he knows all this is coming. So he knows what's coming when he's having this conversation. And he takes the bread and he breaks it. And he goes, this bread is my body. And I can't imagine what he's wrestling with even as he's having this conversation with his disciples. This bread is my body, given for you. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And again, he's having this conversation with his disciples. Except one who left, and he's off to be betrayed. And he said, this cup is the new covenant, the new promise in my blood. And again, he's saying this, and he knows what's coming. He's going to shed his blood, not just on the cross, all over the place. And his beating, he's going to be bleeding the whole time. He's giving up everything. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission or the removal of sin, so that you and I can have rest, so you and I can have peace, so we can be reconciled, we can be returned to favor with God and live like that's true. So often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. Before I pray, I don't know where you're at. You might not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's the day to know Jesus and have the Holy Spirit in your life and begin what's the word we're using? What is it? This is why we do the life together, right? Cultivating the life of Christ in you. Today's the day. Maybe you're a Christian, but you've been playing games and you're off. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Today's the day to repent, to choose God and align with God again and begin to live like God wants you to live for your good and the good of others, and he wants you back. Some of you are walking this walk, and it's hard, but it's also restful and joyful. I want to encourage you to stay the course. Lord Jesus, we love you. All of us are in absolute need of you. All of us are at your mercy. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for loving us the way you do. And help me. I don't know, you guys decide if you want any of this. Help me know and learn to receive love and patience from you. And I offer you my resistance, and I offer you those times that I push back away from you because that's what I know best. And I choose to submit to you. Your word says, unless you humble yourself and become like a little child. And Father, I just submit myself and I want to be a child to you. I need your help. Love you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.